Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here, and you can shop it right from your couch. It's Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale, and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, score amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals. And get it all with fast and free shipping on everything. Yep, even the big stuff. Right to your door. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer. And did we mention they only last 5 days? So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the season before it fizzles out. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale now through July 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Now, we've had a message in the Discord from Megwa. I hope I'm pronouncing, that's a word I've just made up. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Megwa. And Megwa's message on L says this. I just wanted to put a quick appreciation message for the podcast and the community out there. I'm currently finishing my undergraduate degree. I'm listening to episodes while powering through my last couple of essays, and it's really helped me along, and the Spotify playlist has been my soundtrack when I need to lock in and focus. So thank you, Exy Beasts. Isn't that lovely, Aina?
Oh, listen,
you can't fake them.
No, we'd love that. Megwa, thank you very much for that. And I hope that this latest episode is going to help you scratch that gaming itch and help you with your studies as well.
I remember those days. 10,000 word dissertations.
I feel you.
Never again.
Yeah, no, I'm really passing. No, thank you very much. But good luck, Megwa, right? And I hope that we are helping you through that. And I really appreciate you messaging us on the Discord. Love that. But if you just joined us, this is Press X to continue. It's the only gaming podcast that you need. I'm Stefan Powell. I'm player one here. And player two is the actor, comedian, streamer, good egg, Einel Tomlinson, coming at us from with a new house. So you're sounding slightly different, Einel, but that's because you're in your kitchen and you're working on
things
your setup.
Things aren't quite in place yet. Just moved into the new house. Haven't got any furniture. I've got cup of tea. That's it. Kettle. That's all got.
That's all you need. And we've heard Gookie Cassie already. Cassie Hughes, welcome back with us.
Hi.
How are you feeling after your first Press X experience?
Well, I'm glad that I've been allowed back after the controversy that was put out there by some people, Luke. And yeah. And I'm excited. I'm excited to yap today.
The animosity, clearly fake animosity, but it's funny to keep stalking it. Between Cassie and another contributor this week, back, it's gaming YouTuber Luke Westaway. Luke, that animosity is clearly continuing. So that's good, isn't it?
I didn't know there was any animosity. Was it? Hang on. When we did our tea break, was Cassie saying something about it?
Yes.
This is the Continue Club Exy Beast dividing line that has come back to haunt you both.
That old thing. No. I'm a capricious, like a wood sprite. I've switched sides. I'm an Exy Beast now, through and through.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know.
I'll switch back again in about 15 minutes, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know. It depends what side of bed Luke wakes up on, whether he's a Continue Clubber or an Exy Beast. If you're in the Continue Club, it means that Frankie Ward is your queen. So you know, that you know, for, there's a reason that some people want to be in a continue club. If you're an Exe Beast, it means that Glenmore is your king. So again, it's a choice. It, you know, helps with the decision making, doesn't it?
I'm like the Joker.
Now, before we get into your unpopular opinion, Cassie, just a note for Mynell and myself, to everybody who's listening, everybody who's been messaging us, but also everybody who works really hard behind the scenes on the podcast, producer Dave and Owen and Mike and Mel and Cammy, who have helped us shape and create this podcast over the last 6 months or so, bring it back to life, resurrect it, Mynell, to bring it back and to get it back out there. We're having a lovely time. So massive thanks to everybody and the crew on the Discord who are looking after things, DJ and DW especially. Lots of love from us to you. So thank you very much for all of that. Keep up the good work. Right then, Cassie, now that we've been all nice and friendly, let's turn to your unpopular opinion, shall we, and change things up. What is your unpopular gaming opinion, please, to get us going?
Mario being a nepo baby of Nintendo is only damaging all the people that have carried him on his back and they need to fight back. Peach doesn't want that man.
Oh, coming for Mario, are we? Okay.
What went to the top?
I have notes about this, and I felt passionate about this. I actually got threatened to be kicked out of a pub because of this. I think it was more because I stood on the table to say it. But
I threw that pint over that person, but you know, it was all right.
I have many things, and I'd like you lot's thoughts on this, because every time that I've said this, I've got more and more unhinged, and then I lose my original point, and then I feel like I need someone that's more succinct and smarter to argue my point for me. But I think that Peach and Bowser, I don't know, I feel like Peach might be Bowser Jr.'s mum and Mario is breaking their relationship.
So the thrust of your argument, Cassie, is that basically Mario gets all the credit when all the supporting characters in the games make him the man who he is.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Sort of, yeah. Yeah, and also Peach and Bowser are playing games with each other and he comes in all serious trying to break it up. But they're playing like a little kidnap game with each other. Why are you getting involved? Yeah, also, Luigi's out there doing work. He's actually fixing, like, he's out there. He's dealing with haunted mansions. Each time he's had to deal with it, he seems traumatized. What's Mario doing? Nothing. Nish. He was at home.
Painting.
Yeah.
Painting.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I've been left speechless a handful of times, I'd say, in the 37 years I've walked this earth. And I reckon this is probably one of those. I know, actually, I think I'm in that sort of, I don't really know what to say or how to react to that.
I hate Mario now.
Oh. Yes!
Oh, I thought Mario was good. But when I think about the Luke of about 5 minutes ago, who thought Mario was good, I hate that man.
So you clearly see where Cassie's coming from. You're like, you've been thinking all these years, well, Mario 64 was groundbreaking and, you know, changed gaming forever. But now you're thinking,
no, it wasn't though, actually, was it?
No. Where would he have been without Bowser and Peach and Luigi and the Coopers?
Yeah, it was actually Cassie's right, you know. All Mario's been doing is jumping on turtles and taking drugs. That's it. Eating foods.
I'm conflicted
on this, because on the one hand, in every Mario game possible, I always play Peach. I'm a huge Princess Peach fan. I will always choose Princess Peach when the opportunity arises. So on the one hand, the idea that there's some kind of like headcanon relationship that I had not clocked is very upsetting to me, because
he gaslit you.
But then on the other hand, I really liked Mario Odyssey, but I found the whole like trying to marry Peach thing quite uncomfortable. And so like, actually, to headcanon that Peach and Bowser are sort of into each other and are just doing this kind of like sort of coy flirty dance, I guess. Roughly, is that what you're saying, Cassie?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Okay. I'm obviously saying the censored version.
Can the wedding even happen if she don't agree with it?
Has she ever, at any point, has she ever been like, you know what, Mario, me and you? No.
She turned down Mario.
She did say, come to the castle, I've baked a cake for you.
Yeah, because she wanted to get her boys to jump him. Daisy was around the corner. And also, I need more for Daisy. That's another thing. But okay, he's just a Nepo baby who no one can talk about because obviously he's going to get his big boy Nintendo fans on everyone else. But yeah.
Can I just for a second, can I just... Have we turned Nintendo into Love Island? Is that what we've done?
Yes, Stefan. Welcome to the internet. Have you been on Tumblr ever? This is what's happening out there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And the thing is, this is only with Mario that they do this with. Yes. And I love Daisy and I would like to talk about her because she was like, she's a neurospicy babe. Every so often, like they'll ask her things like people are getting beaten up and she'll be like, it's Daisy. That's all she does. And I love that. And they've taken that pureness from her, in the new Jamboree. She doesn't say just yell her name. And I feel like she needed that as like, that was her stim. And I blame Mario for that.
Also, Mario's got all his ex-girlfriends in all these games with him. It's mad.
Didn't he claim he dated. Yeah, apparently, to him.
Okay, so do you agree with Cassie that we shouldn't be giving Mario his flowers as often as we do for his games because clearly his personal life is a mess and he is not very nice to women and that he's got some issues he needs to work through? And that should be recognised more openly, more publicly. Or do you think he's just a plumber who collects stars and jumps on turtles and he does that very well and actually just leave me enjoy my time with Mario? Whatever your opinion is, agree or disagree with Cassie, you know what to do. You've got to find us on social media, PressX Podcast on Instagram, PressX Pod on Blue Sky and TikTok, or find us in the Discord and get chatting about Mario's personal life, because I think this could be the beginning of a love triangle that I didn't know.
He needs to go to therapy.
He does.
Needs to sit down and talk to someone.
And literally, I'm not being passive aggressive or judging anyone, but Stefan said himself that he jumps on turtles, so that's who you're supporting.
Fine. So Mario, actually a bad guy. That's our unpopular. that's our unpopular opinion this week from Geeky
Nintendo,
Cassie.
Nintendo, please invite me back to your next Switch 2 thing. Thank you
recently invited to a big Nintendo bash.
I'm sure the invites, they're only going to escalate now. Jeremy Miyamoto's going to listen to this and be like, finally, someone gets it. What I've been trying to say with my art.
For years, this is what I've been writing and nobody
can see. You're not supposed to root for Mario. You're supposed to drown him before he gets into the castle.
Well, look, let us know what you think about that and also share your unpopular opinions like people have been doing in the Discord, which we love. Nerdizoid, on the Mario theme, said, I shouldn't be able to roll a 10 on a 6-sided dice in Mario Party, says Nerdizoid. That's fantastic. We love that.
Wait, it's so true. I never thought.
Why are you rolling 10s on a 6-sided dice? The maths don't add up.
The game. Would
it be possible to just very, very quickly before we move on, drill down into the Nepo baby part of that? Obviously, I mean, Mario's a plumber, right? But the Nepo baby thing is because he's like Nintendo's mascot, right? So he always gets that favourable treatment from mummy and daddy at Nintendo.
Yeah, not plumber Mario Senior. That's not why he's a Nepo baby.
Would you extend the same criticism to Sonic the Hedgehog?
Well, it depends on his relationship with female hedgehogs, right?
Or
male hedgehogs, depending.
But Nepo baby. No. But you can have good ones, like, you know, Jack Quaid. I feel like maybe yes. Is Sonic Jack Quaid?
Yeah, it could be.
Such a good question, Luke. I think yes, but he's also like, I don't know, he's there, he's bringing other people with him. He's big on diversity. Do you know what? So's Mario, though. I would say that.
Are you talking about Quaid?
What about Master Chief?
Huh? Oh, wait, sorry, not Quaid. I mean, like,
Sonic. I think what you can do, Cassie, I think what Luke's point is, you should go through all of the characters that you that might fall into the Nepo baby category, Master Chief, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Mascots, you know.
Yeah, yeah, sort of mascotty types. If we're going old school, Parappa the Rapper. Whatever, right? And maybe see if you can
Rayman.
Formulate
a similar... deal with Rayman, am I right?
Still good. Right, and see if you can formulate a similar argument with them, and then next time you're back on with us, we can delve into it then.
Rayman.
I don't know what you've done. If people could recreate a list, I can do some investigative work, a bit like Panorama.
Send Cassie the Nepo babies, okay? Cassie wants the gaming Nepo babies, okay? Pikachu.
Lara Croft has an actual mansion.
Yeah. Lara Croft. Yeah. Well, she is.
She is.
So wait. I mean, this could be a first of a multi-part and popular opinion, Cassie. So you've instead of doing like a paragraph, you're setting yourself up for a dissertation, which we're here for. You know, why not?
I'm scared. I feel like we've pulled back something. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Some of the other unpopular opinions we've had, we've shared notes, right? Mikael says this. What do you think about it? I mean, Aina, you touched on this in last week's episode. Actually, he said Mikael says cloud gaming is good. I was in a hotel without my console. I went back to Pentiment on the Xbox Cloud using my phone and touch controls. There's some stutters here and there, but it works, and I could seamlessly continue on the console when I got home. You're a fan of this stuff.
Oh, good. Mm. It's so good. It works so well. And I think that's what a lot of us forget about some of these services that we don't necessarily interact with all the time. Like, Xbox Cloud Gaming just works. Remote Play works surprisingly well as well on PlayStation. I haven't tried out Nintendo streaming games yet, but hopefully they're getting rid of that for the Switch 2. But like streaming stuff, it works really well. I can do GeForce Now games on my TV. It's crazy. I can play PC games on my TV.
I don't know why I haven't tried it that much.
It's fantastic. Yeah. I played Cyberpunk on the TV with just a controller.
Yeah, it does rely on your Wi-Fi, isn't it? Mikael's clearly got good... He's in a posh hotel there where he's working Wi-Fi. You know, so that is. But thank you, Mikael, thank you very much for sharing that. Let us know, do you like cloud gaming? You in with Mikael there? Because it talked up big time as like one of the... I can remember in my old job when I had to talk a lot about the acquisition of Activision by Microsoft. Cloud gaming was a big thing. Everybody talked about it all the time, and the trade people and the politicians are all getting involved.
One of the main things.
I don't feel like barely anybody does cloud game except for Mikael and I now, but there we are. And this one, I have to say, we've had lots of unpopular opinions in the 6 months since we've been back. And I think what Sucre Papa has suggested in Discord is possibly the one that I have related to the most out of all of the unpopular opinions. It's something I've sort of touched upon previously, and it's this. He messaged saying, I think every game should have a journal or a log of the story up to that point. So if I do a dreaded skip cutscene by mistake, at least it's, or in my case, if you have 6 months off a game and then you go back to it, it's then really easy to find out what the story is so far, and it helps you if you've had a long absence from it. Yes. 100% yes. Why don't games do that, Luke? They could do that easily. I don't get it.
Some do. The Life is Strange and Lost Records, like Don't Nod and Deck Nine games, they've got a brilliant journal. Mm-hmm. It's like a whole extra bit of content. You can, every time you play a section, this sort of beautifully illustrated recap of main character's diary gets sort of added
to
the game.
It could be compulsory. That's how I would toughen that up. Sure. I'd say it should be compulsory. Dubri then replied saying, can real life have this feature as well?
No, I actually agree with that, because people think that I'm really forgiving, but I'm not. I just forget what's happened. So I agree with that. And I agree with Luke as well. Life is Strange. I really like the way they do that, because it makes it just, and they do it quite well for it feeling organic to the game as well, don't they? That's a good one. Yeah.
Walking Dead, the Telltale games in Walking Dead did have that last time on feature as well, which sort of did that as well. So it shows it can be done, and therefore more people should do it. Please. Thank you very much. Right. This week's trivia. Remember, you can get involved with the trivia. You can send some trivia suggestions into the production team. There is a secret channel on the Discord the Me and INL cannot see. And you can get in there and you can submit some trivia questions, and then we're going to try and guess them on the podcast, and we're going to give you the answer at the end of the pod.
Who wants to be a continuer?
Today's question is specifically on the Xbox, okay? Specifically on the Xbox, what links all of the following? So think Xbox, and what links all of the following? Quitting an online game of FIFA 10 whilst you're losing. Dying 10 times in the Simpsons game. Refusing a boss battle in Guitar Hero 3 Legends of Rock. Getting to the end of Moonraker in 007 Legends. Unlocking every achievement in the game Street Fighter 4. Killing yourself with your own grenade in Secret Service. What links all of those things on the Xbox?
I've got a good guess for this one, I think.
Ooh, what is it, Luke? Go with it.
I reckon they all give you achievements that make fun of you.
Oh, that's a good shot. Yes, you get.
I reckon they've all got achievements that are like, you idiot. Or maybe something a bit cleverer than that.
Yeah. Years ago, trophy.
You wasted your time. Yeah.
Okay, that's a good show. Any advances on that?
No, yeah, I was thinking that your achievements, but like going along Luke's lines, I reckon it's one of those ones that either gives you like one gamer point or zero.
Oh yeah, you know, like people, because there are some.
They used to give you an amount, didn't they?
Yeah, an achievement, like people who really cared about it would hunt out specific rare achievements, because there aren't very many that pay out like five. Or you know, or four or three or two. So if you wanted your gamer score to be a round number, which people did care about, then you would like, you would have to get a particular game and do this achievement just to sort of, yeah.
Good show. A great question. Whoever suggested the question is a very good one. And we'll give you the answer at the end of the podcast. Right, we're going to start. We've been on for 20 minutes already. we're going to chat first about easy mode and playing on easy, because Luke, you sort of often play difficult games, right? And
yes,
you've sort of and you do that on online and things, and so we thought, well, you're the perfect person to have on to talk to us about why you choose to do that, because I'm all for playing however you want to, basically, and if that means playing on easy mode, then go for it. But I also know, I know, Inel, you like challenging yourself, don't you, and having the high difficulties on. So do you. Luke, why do you do that?
Well, I do it because I find that YouTube viewer retention is higher on difficult video games.
Yes.
And the more difficult I can make the difficult video game, the higher the retention. But so, you know,
professional reasons, very good.
Aside from that sort of purely mercenary aspect, I think the concept of difficulty in video games is super interesting and super thorny. And it's also like weirdly just flared up in the last few years because of the sort of From Software effect of like, and of, you know, those games just sort of in feeling like they've kind of hit the games industry like a bit like a meteorite. And now everywhere you look, other games are like adopting Souls-like elements, or, you know, trying to be, you know, I'm playing Jedi Survivor at the moment for the first time, and it's just wild to me that you've got this like huge budget game that is like Star Wars game,
yeah,
that is really quite
that made
hard.
No sense to me whatsoever. Like, if that game was just a run and gun lightsaber sort of a jaunt, then yeah, it would have been, in my opinion, it would have done way better, and people would have loved it more. Instead, it's impossible. And it's like, I've chosen to not buy a Dark Souls game because I don't want a difficult game. Why are you giving me this? I couldn't get my head around it.
So here's my sort of like boilerplate response on like going to bat for Dark Souls, etc., and other difficult games. You've got to like reconfigure your concept of like what is difficult. I don't think that Dark Souls, Bloodborne, Elden Ring, etc., they're only difficult if you think that dying and having to do things again means that you're failing or doing badly. Like, in those games, they are very carefully designed and very lovingly made, so that you have to throw yourself at it again and again and again and incrementally improve. And if that doesn't sound like your jam, then you absolutely shouldn't have to play it. Yeah. But I think there is something very chill and sort of meditative almost, and very rewarding about getting to the end of a game and realizing that you've actually become very good at it. It's like learning to play Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, for example. It's like the best analogy I can think of. It's like learning a musical instrument. It's like it's hard to learn, but there's no other way to do it. It's like at the end you have learned something, and that's nice.
You've reframed your you've reframed your view or acceptance of death in games, because I still think of dying in a game like jumping off a platform in the 90s and losing and having to go right back to the beginning of the level.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's how I still perceive losing life in
games. And I'll tell you for why. It's deep rooted in all of our gamer psyches, because it used to cost us money. Dying used to mean now, like, you have failed at this go, like going back to the arcades. If you want to, now you must put in more money. Mm. And then I think the reason that From Software games have had such a huge impact is that I think people were ready for something other than the very, very, very cinematic approach that like mainstream video games were taking through the first half of the noughties, like 2000 to 2010 and kind of into that. I'm thinking of a sort of Uncharted-y, Bioshock-y kind of thing. Well, like in, Before I started playing Dark Souls, etc., I found that generally dying was really annoying, because most games you weren't really supposed to die. Like, you know, if you die in Uncharted, it's a massive waste of time. Uncharted is supposed to be like a roller coaster. You're only supposed to see everything once, and it's supposed to just be like you like strap in for this brilliant story with all these cool set pieces and stuff. Yeah. And if you ever die and have to do it again, it sucks all the air out of it, and it's deeply unsatisfying. But that, you know, if you have a game that is designed around being challenging, that's not really the case. If you could knock down the difficulty of Dark Souls into easy mode, it would be like an hour long game. The content just isn't there.
Yeah.
It only works as something that takes you many, many attempts. But each attempt is the game. It's not like when you die, you're like, well, that was a waste of time.
Yeah.
Like, that's your, you know, it's that, cloud saves in your brain. It's good stuff.
It's good.
Cassie, where are you on the sort of playing on easy, playing on difficult games sort of spectrum?
I've had to, like, so I play standardly on, like, normal, sometimes on hard when I'm getting bullied by, like, my community when I'm streaming. I don't often do easy. When I first, like, when I had it as an option and I used to be a bit afraid of it, I used to play on easy, but now I don't think that's giving me what I need from the game. I do feel like there's things and that there's the satisfaction of the challenge. But when it comes to Dark Souls games, I have many confessions about it. One, I think that most people that enjoy it, and not calling anyone out, like pain and suffering, because I'm not strong enough to do this. I genuinely, the rage that is in my heart, maybe I'm just too short to play these games, but the rage that fills my soul is not okay. I tried to play Dark Souls 2 on my stream once, and I switched off my computer and I told the chat that my stream died because I couldn't bear it anymore. I was like, oh no, my internet's gone.
That's an amazing confession.
Is
this the first time you've confessed that, by the way, Cassie?
No, because they got a clip and they saw me reach over to pull off the thing. They saw it and it was breaking. And at the end, you can just see it.
There's a big red off button and you were pressing it. It's like, oh, that's sort of a giveaway, isn't it?
I can't.
Did you just turn it off?
And I did. I was fuming. And it's the same. But I really enjoy watching people play it. I really enjoy, like, the satisfaction that they get from it. But I think that I'm too much of a people pleaser and need praise consistently for me to be getting beaten up like this in the game. I can't. Every time I die, and I genuinely, like, I've yelled like an anime villain at, like, dying, like, head back screaming and needing to walk away and then, like, coming back. And I just don't get the satisfaction as much as, but it's also because I do believe in some ways, like, get good. Like, you could just be better. And I get that there's some things that are about, like, timing and things, but this is why I put down Black Myth, because I could do it. But why? Why? I'm already getting beaten up by life. I don't need to do it in the game. So
that's why I know, and we've talked about this before, you know, yeah. I think sometimes I choose to play on an easier mode. Sometimes I do find it difficult to do that because I started doing it when time started to become a problem for me when it comes to gaming, because I wanted to get a sense of the story that people were creating, and it was literally like, I could play it on a more difficult mode, but I know that will double the length of time it'll take me to finish it, and I need to finish this now. So that was sort of it.
Do you mean in linear narrative story games?
Yeah. I think I might have even completed The Last of Us 2 in the end on easy because I needed to finish it. Right,
I get that, but I agree with Luke. Like, if you're gonna play a game like Bloodborne or like these type of games,
you're choosing a difficult. Yeah, you're choosing to challenge yourself.
And I know
that's why we've talked this before. You like to challenge yourself, don't you? And that's why you pick the difficult modes.
I think crucially, I like games that don't have. I vibe with games that don't have like selectable difficulty modes, like, you know. Bloodborne is just Bloodborne, and it's the same for everyone. Like, you know, you can't really make it harder for yourself unless you do something stupid. The same is true of Mario Odyssey. Like, it's just, this is Mario Odyssey, and, like, it's not actually a very difficult game unless you want to, like, try and, like, 100% it and stuff. I just find that when you're offered a difficulty, like, select screen, I just find that choice really stressful. I play on easy mode a lot as well, I should say. Like, someone who, like, you know, it basically earns a living playing difficult video games. I play on easy mode a lot. I just finished Indiana Jones on easy mode.
Yeah.
And I didn't think the easy mode was easy enough. I kept dying.
The challenge for you, Aynel, because we've talked about this, when you're basically saying you play a lot of games, you're good at games, and so therefore you want to be challenged.
It's old. I think that's what it is. I've just been playing games for a long time, and I just want that challenge, like, feel alive again. That's what it is. But I think it's
not Anel's fault that he's extremely elite, you know?
No, do you know what it is? It's as Luke was saying, you have to kind of reframe how you see, like, failing in games. And I think for me, it was Street Fighter 2. I used to play that game on easy, ran through. I just wanted to see all the cutscenes for the different characters. And then I remember my older brother said, why don't you play on a harder difficulty? And I was just getting beaten up constantly. Couldn't get past Sagat. And it wasn't until I actually got good, started learning the moves. I was beating the game without learning how to actually do a Hadouken. And I actually learned how to do a Hadouken for the first time, how to do Dragon Punch. And then once I started beating the game, and I got good, and I was like, oh wow, now I know how to actually do the character's moves rather than just pressing punch and kick. And I, from there, I've kind of just reframed failing in games games like Dark Souls and stuff. They're meant for me, but I don't necessarily vibe with them all the time because I love stories in games. I love engrossing characters. I love peaks and troughs within the stories, and you don't necessarily get that to the same degree with those types of games, sadly.
Yeah, I mean, there are stories and worlds there. I mean, lots of depth, but they're told in a different sort of way, isn't it? There's a lot of sort of lore discovery that goes on
It's told after you finish the game when you're reading some like fan wikis and
I think that I've also found that a bit of a barrier. But it's interesting conversation. I think ultimately our main takeaway here on Press X is that you play however you want to play.
Whatever you want to do.
You want to play on easy one time, you do that. If you want to play really difficult games, you do that. As long as you're having fun, that's the main thing. But it's interesting to talk about, isn't it?
The other I think really important thing on this talk to mention is that I think when people talk about games being like easy or difficult, it gets lumped in with a question of how accessible games should be, as in accessible to people with disabilities. And I think that's like, there's a difference between a game being accessible as in having accessibility features, which I think is super good and should be in every game, and, you know, companies should be developers should be like pressured to include as much stuff as they can, versus like approachability, which is just like, you know, what we think of in a more traditional kind of, is the game easy, is the game hard kind of way. So yeah, I think like I think those they overlap those conversations, but they're
I mean I always love it when I see going to an option screen, they have a dyslexic font, and I was like, yes.
Oh, yes.
I cannot read this crazy font that you have.
I will say, I think games are getting better at that. It's not perfect by any stretch. They're definitely getting better at it, which is good, and so they should be, and looking forward to seeing much more of that in the games to come. Let us know what you think. What do you play on? Do you like playing on really high difficulty modes? Do you like to play difficult games? Do you like just... was it last episode that someone used the phrase cottage core? You know, if you're like just chilling with games and you don't really care about the difficulty of them, that's also cool. Let us know how you play.
Bloodborne is cottage core, don't at me.
Let us know what you think on the Discord, on social media. We love to hear from you. Right then, let's get an update on GTA 6 quickly.
The press X to continue. GTA 6 update.
Listen, Rockstar, you're based in Scotland. I'm in Scotland. Come to my house. Just tell me something that I can say on this podcast. Please. I'll come to your house. Just please.
That was the Press X to continue GTA 6 updates.
Right then, let's have a review, shall we? Cassie, you're reviewing a game for us this week. It's called Blueprints.
Yeah.
What, it's got an amazing Metacritic score. What is it, and who should be playing this game?
Everyone in a single world. Yeah, listen. Okay, so Blueprints, like Blueprints. Get it? Because Blueprint. Okay.
Yeah.
I also feel like, as someone that has a lisp, I can say either one of them, and no one knows. I like board games. I really like Mansion of Madness, and I like a good meaty board game, but most of my friends can't do anything for more than 3 minutes at a time. So I end up like trying to play games, board games online. And this feels like I'm playing a board game, but also like a mystery. And it's so good. I played the demo over and over again. Like, I very rarely play demos for like as long as I did this one. Like, I have a feel of the game and say, oh, like, I want to play this and move on. Every time they brought this demo back on, I went through it. So basically, you go in with, as minimal spoilers, you go into a house and you have to like basically unlock the blueprint of the house. And you go in and you've got options as you go in. There's like three things that you can choose. And you're basically trying to navigate and open more. And you've got like a certain amount of steps, and it can be super frustrating. And if you get things wrong, or you don't have enough steps, or you can't navigate enough, then you have to restart the day. And I think you've got like three times to do it. And it came out, and I've been waiting for ages. And I remember someone asking me about this game last year, and it wasn't even out. And I said that the year that it comes out, I feel like it's going to be my game of the year. And I know that's a big ballsy thing to say, but
yeah. Well, to be fair, the Metacritic suggested Metacritic score, which is sort of an aggregate of all different critics sort of who've reviewed it, giving it a 93, super high. Essentially, it's a puzzle adventure game, right?
But
and loads of games recently have put this in their description: roguelike elements, because like everybody loves a roguelike game now, right? What are the roguelike elements in this, and was that a problem or a barrier to entry?
When people say this, like, what do they mean? Because I'm not gonna lie, like, I know I'm picking up the game, but what do they mean by that? Like,
in this game, if you fail or you run out of steps or you get a dead end, you have to start again, and I think that's like the roguelike elements.
That's what roguelike means to me. It means like a run. It's a run-based game. You do a run.
Yeah.
You tool up, you have a go, and then you tool up again, go again when you fail, sort of thing.
Okay, so I think this goes in with the fact that I recently, and I feel like I'm so late with this, have been obsessed with Slay the Spire. I only started playing it recently, and I've put a disturbing amount of time into that game that I've done. So now I've thrown that to the side, and now I'm in like Blueprints that I can, yes, I get that. Sorry, I'm not you know.
No, but it's a yeah, phase of people. The people drop it in all the time when their games aren't like sort of traditionally rogue, like where, you know, when everything basically resets to zero when you die, you start to get like Hades, for example, or whatever. But games like throwing it's a marketing term basically because people want to buy the game because roguelikes are popular at the moment. It's semi-roguelike. We chuck roguelike in the description, and someone might buy it.
I'm gonna add that for my next. I feel like that should be on the next the controversial opinion thing, unpopular opinion. That we should move the scale up of what it should be because you're being a bit lazy now. But not these lot. I love you. I want you to have everything in the world. I'm going to marry you in the face.
So who should play this game, Cassie? People like adventure puzzle games. People who should play it?
People that like board games, but like don't necessarily have the time and space to be able to do it all the time. People that like I know it's not cards, but as someone that like card games, it reminds me of like card games, and people that like a good mystery. I think, and is it someone that things that you want to unwind with? I like, this is a game that I would like play. I would get off the computer for and be able to play like on my console easily. I'm playing my Steam Deck, and I'm really like into games that, like that at the moment, where I can just kind of step away and still be just as immersed into it.
Interesting. Yeah. You know what's really interesting? Listening to Cassie talk about this. We've had a real run recently, I think. If you sort of listen back to the last few months of podcasts and listen to the games that people are playing and the games that people are bigging up, there's a lot of puzzle games. I think puzzle games, I know they've been around since the beginning. Like we talked about Columns a couple of weeks ago, right? Right on the, you know, the Omega Drive as a traditional sort of puzzle game. But modern puzzle games and the way that they sort of interplay with other genres are becoming, are they starting to take over? Is that becoming like the new sort of thing? I don't know. Am I just
I think it's like fusing like multiple elements of different types of games into one. It's because like, obviously Cass has talked about how she loves playing board games and stuff. And I get the same, I've only played about 10 hours of Blueprints, but like, I get that same feeling as well. Like I'm playing a board game when I'm doing it. I call it like a podcast game because you can put a podcast on in the background whilst you're playing it. And it's one of those kind of games where you can just chill, relax, work out a couple things. And I think you're right, Steph. Like in recent times, we're getting a lot of these kind of puzzly, adventure, mystery, escape room type
video games. Yeah, that's what it feels like.
People love that. It seems to be resonate a lot with players because it's something different, and it's something that you can't get in any other medium. You can't get that by reading a book. You can't get that by going to the movies, to the cinema. It's a very unique experience that only video games can really give you at this point,
You go, Cassie.
I was gonna say, in a way, but also I think that it adds the certain things into the game that I do enjoy of that. Like I do enjoy like a murder mystery show, and I feel like they've added elements of that within the game, and I like, you know, like those silly kind of rompy ones as well, and you kind of have that within it just lightly with the story, but you can see the way that they've added elements of it. So I think it pulls in all the things that I kind of like, and they've packaged it well. And you know, when you're asking about who can play this, one of my best friends, he only plays like World of Warcraft and Elden Ring. And we were going to watch a show, and I told him to try like doing this game for a bit before we start watching the show in Discord. We ended up playing this game. I just watched him play it for like 4 hours, and we kept on saying we're going to go, and then we just did it over and over again. So, and he was like, "Oh, I just want to have a go. I'm not really into it." I was just play it. Loved it. So
you can get it for £23 on Steam, £25 on the PlayStation Store and the Xbox Store, plus it's on Game Pass. Luke, do you fancy this?
I've literally bought it as Cassie reviewed it. I had Steam open over here, and I was like,
hashtag not an ad, Cassie, I swear, I'm not being paid.
Cassie sold it for me. On commission. Yeah. I used your affiliate link, Cassie, that you said to use. No, just kidding. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Please let me know what you think, because I'm so excited for it. I really like to know what you think of it, Luke.
Yeah, get reviewing it, Luke, and make sure you tag us in at PressXPod on Blue Sky on TikTok, or PressX Podcast on Instagram. Let us know if you like blueprints. Let us know also if you're enjoying the sort of the puzzle genre mashup that we seem to be seeing a lot of in games at the moment, or if you're just a big roguelike fan, whatever. Get in touch with us. Let us know what you think about this. We'd love to hear from you. And we're just going to finish up this week with some more suggestions for our Spotify playlist, the PressX Ultimate Gaming Soundtrack. You can find on Spotify. It's got some absolute bangers on there. Isaac from the Discord suggesting the Nier soundtrack. He says they are untouchable. The opening track to Nier Replicant gives me chills every time, says Isaac. And Isaac, I cannot properly describe to you just how much nodding Einel is doing now. If Einel nods anymore, his head is going to come off his shoulders. That's how much he's nodding, Isaac.
Great choice.
Very good suggestion. And then Blue Boo is once again a chilled track in there. The main theme from A Short Hike. Blue, I've not come across this. I'm going to check this out. Oh, a Short nice. Hike, yeah. A lovely game.
Indie game that came out last year.
Yeah, it does exactly what it says on the tin if you're after a short game to play, which I am. So thank you very much for that, Blue. If you want to find the playlist, search on Spotify, the Press X to Continue Ultimate Gaming Playlist.
Do you have Persona 5 stuff on there?
There is a Persona 5 track on there.
Yep. Got the main theme.
Yes, there is. And of course, if you want to suggest tracks, you can do that on the Discord and on social media as well. Now, earlier on in the show, we set you a trivia question. And it's time to reveal the answer to that one. Specifically, on the Xbox, what links all of the following? Okay. Quitting an online game of FIFA 10 while losing, dying 10 times in the Simpsons game, refusing a boss battle in Guitar Hero 3 Legends of Rock, getting to the end of Moonraker in 007 Legends, unlocking every achievement in the game Street Fighter 4, killing yourself with your own grenade in Secret Service. And the answer to that, Luke, I'm going to give you a point for this because I think you basically got it right. They're all achievements that add 0G to your gamer score.
Right. Cool.
So, yeah, bad loser on FIFA 10 adds 0G. Owned on the Simpsons games adds 0G. Tail between your legs and Guitar Hero. One small step for man, 007 Legends. Unbeatable fist, Street Fighter 4. Drop the pin, Secret Service. All adds 0G.
Those evil achievements. They stopped doing those.
Because
when people used to look at your achievement list and they see you got it, it's like, you can't get rid of it either. You get no point for it.
Great question. Thank you very much for submitting that, even though me and Einel can't actually see them, which is really rather annoying, but we'll have to get over it. Well, that is it, Cassie. Luke, it's been a joy having you on Press X to Continue. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Don't you worry. We're going to be picking up the phone. You're going to be back, which is very exciting for us. Well, that's it then for this episode of Press X. Don't forget to get involved by messaging us on Press X Pod. That's on TikTok and Blue Sky and Press X Podcast on Instagram. You can get involved in the Discord server as well. Loads of people in there, you know, having a lovely time.
And they're lovely people. Very lovely. Lovely people.
Yes, very nice, very inclusive. People agree, they disagree, all done in a very nice way. And we, there's people in there sending you links to cheap games, free games, chatting all about the latest updates and stuff that's going on in the world. So get yourself in there. It'd be lovely to have you. We have another retro episode on Thursday where we share our back catalogue with you on new podcast platforms for the first time. And we're going to be back next Tuesday for more fun. So until then, I'll see you then. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Big news! Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. It's Black Friday in July. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Get our lowest prices of the summer for 5 days only. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals with fast and free shipping site-wide. So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off now through July 28th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.